Oh, welcome. Praise the Lord. Good to have all of you here today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are so grateful. One more time, we're going to let Cheryl tell you about the children and the potluck dinner.
Next Sunday. It's Communion Sunday. It's also our fourth anniversary here in this church that Thurman and all his handymen helped build.
Amen.
All the men of the church. And so we're having a Christmas potluck dinner. And so bring your favorite food, and after the service is over, about 4:30, we'll have dinner in there. For those of y'all that don't know, it's next Sunday, okay?
Praise the Lord.
Okay. Well, most of you, except the new people, know that I've been collecting funds for Christ Haven for Children. It's our 10th annual Christmas benefit, and we're also giving money, or actually giving things to Grace, which is Grapevine Relief and Community Exchange. It's over in Grapevine, and they service South Lake and Colleyville and Grapevine. And they have 2,000 children. Their numbers have gone up, and 640 families that they're dealing with. And so far, last year we raised $53,800. Well, so far we're at $50,350. So we're moving right along, but God's really blessing us with Kohl's, and so I bought a lot more with the money this year than I did last year, because Kohl's has given us, on some things, they gave us 40% off, then 30% off at the end, and they always give me 30% off, and I'm tax exempt, and then also it was Kohl's cash this week and today, so I got a lot of Kohl's cash, because there's some families we're going to give that cash to so they can go buy some Christmas. Yes, and I want to thank everybody that's helped, and for everybody that's bought towel sets, and Miss Betty, she made a bunch of hats. She worked really hard, she said. She must have been slaving in the midnight hour to make a bunch of hats for the kids, because the kids at Grace, they needed a lot of things for teenagers, so this week we went out and bought makeup and watches and nail sets and... Well, we also delivered trikes, because everyone here at the Ministry Center, Jeff and all the Rosenfels, have been putting together, and that includes John, who lost his first tooth this morning at 1:30 in the morning. Anyway, they've been putting the trikes together and the wagons, and I delivered two wagons, and they said, oh, we don't have any wagons. Well, I can understand why. Wagons are expensive. Have you bought a wagon lately? Let me tell you. I bought the hard plastic that carries 84 pounds, and it was $34.86 or something, so I couldn't even buy a metal one. They're just way expensive, I guess, because steel's going up.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what it is? And I like actually all the trikes I bought the hard Barbie Tough Trike, which are made out of hard plastic. So anyway, so I still have, there's a few things for the families that we haven't really gotten. Like Sandra brought some towel sets. That's one of the things. Christy and I are going to shop tomorrow. We're going to buy some more towels. Well, we actually haven't bought any towel sets. And we're going to we haven't bought any tool sets at Walmart. And we haven't... mainly the families we haven't really bought a lot for. We were there this past week when we delivered a bunch of goods, and they took us into this one room, which is about two-thirds the size of this room. And in it, they have one of everything. And they have 20 volunteers that work with each family, and the family gets $60. And like on a remote control car, they have like 5 or 10 on it, okay? So they get to pick out a family gift, and then they get to pick out a gift for each child. But they let them work with the $60, so it shows them how to spend money. Because these are very, very, very poor people. I mean, they don't have anything. And they also have a food pantry there at Grace. And so a lot of these people are, you know, going to the food pantry too. So anyway, if you can continue to help bless them, I'm still buying items to take to Grace. We finished Christ Haven. The only thing I haven't bought for Christ Haven, I haven't bought the 57 Six Flags tickets yet, and that's like $3,000. I have not bought them yet because I just felt more convicted that I needed to get Grace a lot of stuff before I tried to even think about getting Six Flags tickets. I just, for some reason, that's been on my spirit. But I just want to tell y'all how much I love God and how honored that I am, that I get to go out there. And I had somebody at Kohl's yesterday. She said to me, I don't even know this woman, and she said to me, you are such a blessing. And I said, oh no, I'm blessed because God uses me to bless others. And she just kept on and on and on. And, you know, it's very humbling because I get to be used by God. But the same thing for y'all giving me the money or giving me the towels and the hats. y'all are being used by God too. We're all being used by God to bless these people. And I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. I love all y'all.
Praise the Lord. There ain't nothing like serving Jesus, is there? That's what we're all here for. We're all here because we have one thing in common. We love the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for us on that cross. And so, you know, we don't look to no man. We only look to the Lord. And he's a mighty king. I mean, he's the one that answers all of our prayers. And I still never ceases to amaze me, I guess, that when I pray for people, you know, of all kinds, you know, I've been in the healing ministry now for many, many, many years, and I prayed for many people, and it just never ceases to amaze me when I pray for somebody for something, whatever it is, and they come back a week or two later and say, you know, your prayer really worked. My pain or my sickness went away. And I think to myself, well, after all, who is he that we're praying to? He's only who? That's right. I mean, he's only God. You know, and I'm sure that he must stand in awe of how little faith we have. I know for myself, for many years, I had so little faith. And I didn't know how to pray for people. And, of course, I've been in church all my life, ever since I was born. I mean, my mother and dad took me to church. But I became a Christian when I was 11 years old. And, you know, I mean, I went to church, but the church I went to, it's a shame that they didn't teach me the real power of who we become and what we can do in prayer. I mean, looking at Kim smiling there, and I'm thinking about here a while back, or a year or so ago, or whatever it was, maybe a couple of years, time gets by me so quickly, that when I was teaching y'all about John 20:23, how you can remit sins of other people. I mean, that's been in the scripture for 2,000 years, but, you know, most people don't believe that at all. You know, in fact, when I first started teaching that, I know some of y'all go to other churches and the morning and so forth, and some of you come back and told me that you told your pastor that I said you could forgive someone's sins, and some of them come back and said that my pastor told me that Thurman was crazy. He didn't know what he's talking about. We cannot forgive sins. But I'm just taking it at face value, and that's what it says. And if God said it, I believe I can do it. And, of course, I started teaching that in this church, and, of course, there it was. And it wasn't long after we had been teaching this that Scott and Kim and their children, they come home one evening, and the power was off at their house. And they called the electrical company, of course, and they said they were going to have a transformer or something bad. And they were trying to fix it, but it would probably be in the middle of the night before they got it back on. So they thought, well, we'd just go to bed, you know. They never thought about praying. You know, when the Lord said, pray about everything, but we don't think about that, do we? So anyway, they went to bed, and they had a good night's sleep. And, of course, the next morning they woke up to fix breakfast and get ready to go for the day, and there's still no electricity. And so then they start praying. You know, and so when they start praying, the Lord speaks to Kim and tells her to remit the sins of this block. And her immediate reply was, Lord, I can't remit the sins of this whole block. Then she thought, I just learned I can. And so she said, Lord, I'm so sorry, forgive me. She said, Lord, I remit the sins of this block. And how long did it take the power to come back on? Just as soon as you did that, the power came back on. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
That you stood in the gap and you remitted the sins of your block. Evidently, somebody's sin was keeping the power from coming back on. Yeah, or whatever it was. But it was amazing, wasn't it, Scott? When this happens, doesn't it kind of just shake you for a second, huh? He thought his wife had lost it, huh? Isn't it amazing that when we do it God's way, what he does, you know, and he's made so many wonderful promises in this word. And of course, last week we talked about Thanksgiving, you know, and how we should thank him and praise him. And we talked about under the old covenant, how there was groups of men that were selected and their whole job was nothing more than to praise and give thanks unto the Lord. That's what they did all day long. They just worshiped him and praised him and thanked him and thanked him for all that he is. And I thought about, after we talked about that last Sunday, and I'd read so many places in the Scripture, and we're going to hit some more of those today because this is a week after Thanksgiving, but just because Thanksgiving has come and gone, it doesn't mean we get to quit thanking him, does it? No, we need to continually praise and thank the Lord. But anyway, as that, I think it was Thursday morning, my son, you know, he's involved in physical fitness. You know, he owns a gym and everything, and he's trying to get people to be in health, good health by exercising and so forth. Well, last year they had a little get-together down here at the racetrack, and they advertised it a little bit and asked people to come. And, of course, in the process, he likes to do good things for people, too, just like Cheryl here doing the things for the children. Tim likes to do good things for people, so he put out an advertisement. If we're going to do a little run out at the racetrack, and if you will come, bring 5 cans of canned food to give to the Tarrant County, whatever it is, food bank or whatever. So he was going to collect food for people in need. So he thought, if I get people out there to a run and bring this. So last year, even in the cold and a little miserable rain and everything else, he had over 500 people show up. And so they brought 5 cans. Each person brought 5 cans. So that's a lot of cans of food. Well, they gave it to him. And, of course, this year, he thought, you know, we got 500 out in the rain last year in the cold. It's not supposed to rain this year, so they advertised it even bigger and everything, and really talked to people and did everything they could. And this year there was almost 2,000 people came, and all of them brought at least 5 cans of food. So you can multiply 2,000 times 5, and how many cans of food is that? That's almost 10,000. He said, Dad, we had a truck big. They brought a great big long truck, and we had that truck. He said, cans. And I thought, wow, just think, it doesn't take very many people to really do something good for mankind. Just think, now there's one little boy, you know, Tim, my son, I'm proud of him, I'm telling you, Lord, thank you for that boy, because he's out there doing something good. You know, now what, there's so many men today that have a son that's not caring about nobody, you know, he's out there on drugs or drinking or, you know, running around doing things he's not supposed to be doing. But praise God, I mean, when I raised, as the Lord, I guess I should say, raised my son, I taught him God's Word. You know, I read the Bible to him every night, I mean, every night, and we talked about it, and now then I look at him, and I'm so proud of him that he would take his Thursday morning and go out there when a lot of us, in fact, I don't mind telling you, on Thursday morning, I was, while he was out there running with all them people, I was still in bed. I didn't go out there. But there's some things that young people do and some things the older people do. You know, but anyway, I was really happy with him that they went out there and had almost 2,000 people and 10,000 almost cans of food that he said, Dad, it was a great big truck. So they brought a big truck and said, we filled it up. They said it was just amazing. Now think of the people that'll be able to eat those cans of food that might not have no food. And you know, I mean, I think about this one doctor of theology as a Baptist, when God put me in the healing ministry. And of course, God totally did this. It was not something that I did. The Lord called me to be in the healing ministry. And of course, I've done the best I can to be obedient to His Word. And I've seen Him heal thousands of people in the last 20 or 30 years. It's just so wonderful to be used of God like this, like Cheryl was talking about how wonderful it is to be used of the Lord to buy these presents. You know, but all you got to do is make yourself available to the King, and He will do something mightily. And as I think about what He has done with me, I think about this one PhD from one of the seminaries. I would never call his name. But he was a Baptist, you know, and of course I was a Baptist, and as God put me in the healing ministry, he made a statement to me there one day. He said, Thurman, you put too much emphasis on healing and not enough on salvation. He said, you know, healing is not important. I looked at him and I told him, I said, you know, it's not important to you because you're well. I said, you know, you're walking in divine health. For as I know, I've never seen you sick. And so healing is not important to people that have no pain and are walking in divine health. But I said, if you happen to be one of those people that I minister to on a regular basis that are sick or their children are dying, when they call me to come to Cook's Medical Center, which I used to do that a lot, I don't do it much anymore. But when God calls you to come to Cook's Medical Center and somebody has a child in there, a 6-year-old child, and the little child has been shot in the back, and the doctors are saying the child's not going to live. not going to live. But yet I go and I spend a little time finding the sin of the parent or the mother, get her to repent, and then I pray for that little child. And a week, that child's out of the hospital and home. Does that make what we do important? Yes, it makes it important. Because I can assure you, if God had not given me that wisdom and revelation He gave me, that little six-year-old boy would have died instead of being alive. And of course, as you heard, those of you that were here heard the testimony last week that Jeff came up and talked about Tony, the boy that was a paramedic that picked that little boy up in the park, that when the first thing he said after I said what I did, when I actually laid my hands on him and said, Satan, you have lost this one. Jesus has won the victory because your mother has repented of her sins. So I guarantee you, you will fully recover in the name of Jesus. And there he was, shot, laying there unconscious with all kinds of things on him and everything. And the very first thing he said when he woke up was those statements. Isn't that amazing? He heard that. He heard that, Satan, you have lost this one. And now then, Jesus has been victorious. Well, you know, Jesus is victorious every time when we repent of our sin. And that's the part that we miss. I don't understand how it took me so long to find this, but once I saw it in the Scripture, in fact, today I read the Psalms. About halfway or somewhere up in there. But I read every one of the Psalms today. I want us to start today with Psalms 148 and 150. In their entirety. Of course, they're not very long. They're a little bitty short psalms. But I want you to see what the Lord told us to do in Psalms 148 and Psalms 150. And let's look at here what he says. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise ye Him, all His angels. Praise ye Him, all His host. Verse 3 and 4. Praise ye Him, the sun and the moon. Praise Him, all ye stars of light. Praise Him, you heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. So far, what is this? What is He covering here? Is this pretty well covering everything, isn't it, Bill? Who would ever dream that the sun would praise Jesus? I mean, we don't think of the sun as being alive, do we? But it is. Everything He made is alive, and it praises even the trees, everything, the waters that are above the heavens, you know, the atmosphere, the moisture that's up there, the clouds. You think of everything that's here on this earth. Who made it? Our God did, and He is worthy to be praised. And, you know, I get so excited when I think about these things, because I can praise Him because I know He made those things. And Thursday morning, I went in to turn on to see if there was any news on. And, of course, the only thing that was on was sports news, you know, on Channel 4 or whatever it was. And there was four big guys. I guess they'd all been football guys. You know, they're talking about football. So I listened to them just a couple of minutes. And as they were there, one of the people said, well, Bob or whatever the guy's name was, he says, What are we celebrating today? He said, Thanksgiving. He said, what does Thanksgiving mean? He said, well, it's a time we give thanks for what we have. And that's all was said. I thought, you know, now I don't want y'all to take this wrong. Y'all know sometimes I'm a little crude, maybe like Peter or whatever. But you know what I thought? I thought, here is four men that are giant men. I mean, men that have worked their bodies and been football players. But as far as I'm concerned, they're a bunch of gutless wonders. There ain't not nobody said, I praise the Lord Jesus Christ for what He has done for me. Not one of them. They're afraid they'll offend somebody on that television. Is that sad? All four of those men should have said, it's a time to worship and praise our God for the things that He made me, and that I am His child. But we don't praise Him. We don't worship Him. We don't thank Him enough. But yet, what is all the elements doing out there? They're not ashamed of Him, are they? I mean, the elements are praising the King, the waters, the heavens, the suns, the moons, everything. And here we are, His the head of his crown, the crown of his creation, which is us. And we won't even say, thank you, Jesus, because we're afraid we'll offend somebody. Wow. Well, let me tell you, that's just like that day that that lady, I've told y'all, some of y'all have heard this story, but I was in Home Depot several years ago, and this lady came in, and I had been asked to come to a hospital to pray for her husband. And I prayed for her husband, and he got well. And, of course, I just walked into the room, and the room was full of people, had retired pastors and deacons. And this man was a well-loved man in the church. And so whenever she called me to come pray for her husband, I just looked at him, and I said, you want to get well or you want to die? He said, well, Thurman, I want to get well. I said, okay, then all you got to do is have faith and believe in God. I said, you've repented of all your sins? He said, well, of course I have. I walked up there and threw my hands on him and said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke this spirit of hell. I said, be healed. It is written in Jesus' word. Lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. I said, that's it, brother. You'll get well. And I just turned and walked out. When I did, one of his brothers looked over at him and said, who was that masked man? I'll tell you who that masked man was. He was a man that knew his God. You know what I mean? And that should be every one of us here today, should it not? We should be men and women of integrity that know our God and know what His promises are, that can walk in and lay hands on somebody, remit their sins, and guarantee them they're going to get well. That's the kind of faith God honors, isn't it? Well, this lady, this wife, I was in Home Depot, and it was 2 or 3 years later after this happened, and I was there buying something, and all of a sudden she walked and said, oh, Thurman Scribner. I turned and said, praise God, how are you doing, girl? She said, well, I'm just doing the best in the world. But she said, I've got a brother that's having problems, and I want you to pray for him. I said, what's wrong with him? And she told me, I just threw my hands up right there. I began to remit his sins. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I remit so-and-so's sins. In the name of Jesus, I come against the forces of darkness. I said, Father, I praise you. I begin to pray, and I prayed there, and I prayed a prayer of healing and everything. And then I dropped my arms and let my hands down. I looked at her, and she was as white as a sheet. I said, what's wrong with you? She said, good grief, I didn't know you were going to do it right here in front of everybody. I said, you know, if you don't want me to pray, don't ask me to pray. I'm not going to be like somebody. Some people are like I used to be. Somebody said, would you pray for my brother Bob? I said, yeah, I'll do it. And then I leave and I forget. I never pray. And so, you know, I lose my victory there. So if I do it right then, I don't have to worry about forgetting, right? Just pray. And so, you know, the thing about it is, if there's anything, if all these elements that we talk about here, if all them can praise the Lord, Richard, me and you ought to be able to praise Him, right? Absolutely. Yeah. When I look at it, praise ye Him, the sun and the moon. Praise Him, all ye stars of light. Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. That's virtually all the elements that are out there. They're praising our King. And I thought, wow, if they are praising Him, why can't we praise Him? Let's see if they're... let's go on to the next couple of verses. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. Just think. He said, and let the stars be. And what happened? They were. that's a little bit powerful God, isn't it, Lou? I mean, but that's our God, right? He's the one that commanded that. So I'm not ashamed of Him. He has also established them forever and ever. He has made a decree which shall not pass away. Verse 7 and 8. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling His word. You ever think about the fire and the hail and the snow and the vapors and all those things is fulfilling His purpose? You know, He has snow stored up in storehouses that He can turn it loose on us anytime He wants to. He has lightning bolts up there, and He throws them where He wants them. Can you just see God? When I think about Of course, you know, being a pilot and flying around, anytime storms come up and it shows lightning on my screen where it is, I guarantee I don't go in those areas. Not at all. Because you can't ever tell. I might get in front of one of his lightning bolts. And I have been in an airplane that's been hit by lightning, and it is no fun. I'll tell you for sure. So you don't. It didn't take me but one time. I stay clear of that. Now verse 9 and 10. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowls. So far, is he leaving out very much? In other words, he's pretty well covering it all, isn't he? You and me can be standing out there, and of course you can't ever tell. There might be a little coyote out there that's howling, and hey, he may be praising God. You know, we don't know, do we? And so, but he knows who made him, verse 11 and 12. He says, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, verse 13 and 14. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heavens. He also exalts the horn of his people, or the power of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. So what is it that is praising him? Everything except most of his created crown glory. Us. People. We have the freedom to say, I'm not going to praise you. Isn't that sad? Everything else he made, they just praise him. The heavens, the earth, the animals, I mean, flying fowls, everything just praises him and worships him. I can just think of just like you said, Bill, a flock of geese that are flying in the formation when they're squawking, doing what they're saying. That may be their way of praising the king. Yeah, I mean, we never think about things like that. You know, they're just flying, squawking. Why don't they fly silently? But no, they're squawking. You know, and up there, I guess, in their language, they're saying, praise the king that we can fly to the south. Praise the king. I mean, does this psalm say we ought to be praising him? Everything else is. If everything else is praising him, wow. And just think, when we're praising him, the scriptures also says that he inhabits the praise of his people. So when we are praising him, where is he? He's right there with us, right there beside us. Wow. Praise ye the Lord. Now let's go to Psalm 150. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. That's where, well, we're in one of his sanctuaries, aren't we? You know, I mean, it may not be the big one, but he is right here in this little sanctuary. And I'm telling you, like Dave and I talk quite often, it's awesome to see God show up in this little sanctuary and do so many wonderful things for so many people. I praise him for that. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Wow. I think about the number of people that I've had the privilege, and I'm just one man, but I think of the number of people I've had the privilege to pray for them and see them either get healed instantly or get healed in a matter of days or weeks. And sometimes it takes months. Like the other day when Eldon and I was out in West Texas to buy some materials, and we stopped in this little place where they had this material, and we drove out there to get it, and I'm sitting there getting ready to pay for it after we loaded it, and this girl says, your voice, I've heard your voice somewhere. And she said, what is your name? And I wrote it down, Thurman Scrivener. She says, are you Thurman Scrivener from Justin Argyle that teaches a healing school? I said, yes, ma'am, that's me. She said, that's it. I've been listening to your teachings. And she said, a friend of mine come to Argyle. About this time, this friend walked out. It was a girl. She walked out of an office, and she saw me. She come running over there, grabbed me and hugged me, and said, Mr. Scrivener, praise God. She said, before I got home, you prayed for my eyes, which had been bad all of my life. And before I got back to Ballinger, I had perfect eyes, and they've been perfect ever since. And I thought, wow, and I didn't even know it. Isn't that amazing? She had never called back or nothing. But boy, she was spreading the word in Ballinger, wasn't she, Dale? She was getting our CDs and DVDs and giving them to all of her friends and telling them if they needed to get healed, come to Justin, come to a healing school. And that she got healed. Her eyes, which had been bad for years, she said, before I got to Ballinger, said, you told me to praise the Lord. And so she said, I'm driving down the road praising the Lord for my perfect vision. And she said, all of a sudden, it happened. And my eyes got perfect and I didn't need my glasses. She said, I can see perfect. Isn't that amazing? Did we serve an awesome God, Eldon? Yeah, he's an awesome God. So boy, we had a great time there. And I thought to myself, just think, that girl came to a healing school. I got to pray for her. And she had never even called me back to tell me that she got healed. But I wonder how many people have done that. Multitudes of them. Every once in a while, of course I say not every once in a while. We get letters every day. Every day with praise reports of people that's been healed. And some of them have never seen us. They had just listened to our teaching. Some of them say, I listened to one of your teachings. And I heard my sin. And I repented. And my husband prayed for me and God healed me. You know, I mean, I think about where Lou's sitting there. There was a lady and her husband came to a healing school. And when they came to the healing school, this lady, I walked up to introduce myself. She grabbed me right quick, drew me over there and kissed me on the cheek and said, oh, Brother Thurman, I love you. And I said, well, I said, ma'am, I don't think I even know you. She said, oh, I said, my husband, I listen to so many of your DVDs. I guess I feel like I've known you forever. But she said, my husband brought one of your CDs home. He said, honey, you got to listen to this. I've never heard anything like this when it comes to healing. And so she said, we put it on. We started listening. We listened about 15 minutes. And I said, you know, he is pretty good. I do like him. And then she said, all of a sudden, you stepped on my pet sin. And she said, I said, turn him off. I don't want to hear no more of this. So she said, I wouldn't listen to you no more. My husband kept trying to get me to listen. Said he'd listen in the other room and I'd hear it. So finally, my husband came in one day and said, honey, you know that what he said is true. That is your sin. And he said, I believe that's why you're sick. So he said, I believe with all my heart, if you will repent of that sin, I can pray for you and God will heal you, just like Brother Thurman told us on the CD. So she said, okay. So she repented of her sin. She didn't tell me what it was. I told her I didn't have to know. She repented of her sin. Her husband prayed for her. And she was instantly healed. And she said, I've not had another problem with this ever since. So that's why this woman could grab me. You know, here she is probably, I don't know, 35, 38-year young woman. And a man that she's never seen, just pull him over there and kiss him on the cheek and say, I love you. I love that. You know, don't you, Joseph? Amen. When the young women, you know, get healed and they love you because you've done something in the name of our Lord. See, because when they did that, you know what? They don't even see me. You know who she's kissing? She's looking to her Savior. Yeah, when she gave me a kiss on the cheek, she saw Jesus because he lives in me. And I'm so grateful that I can be that way to some people because she got healed. And I love it. But the Lord says that, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Can you think of anybody or anything that even comes close to God? No, there ain't nothing. I mean, nothing even comes close. Verse 3 and 4. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the timbal and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. I remember when the chairman of deacons over at Louisville at Lakeland, when his daughter got married, we had the reception out on the lake. And of course, his daughter wanted Daddy to dance with her first at the reception. So he's a good Baptist. He was chairman of the Deacon's Baptist. And so he looked at me and said, Thurman, I said, go dance with her, Bobby. I said, it's your daughter, you know, I mean, good grief. So he goes out there. And he dances with his daughter. And when he comes off of the stage, off the platform, he comes and said, there's a lot of these people here that go to our church. You know I'm chairman of the deacons. I said, yes, I know I'm a deacon myself, so I know where you are, that's for sure. He said, what am I going to tell them? I said, have you read Psalms 150 lately? He said, I don't guess I have. He said, but I have my Bible with me right now. I said, well, go read it. So he read and read it, and it says, praise him with the timbrel and dance. He read it, come over, and he patted me on the back and said, praise God, Thurman, for you. I'm so glad. He said, if anybody gives me any trouble about the answer of a daughter, I'll ask them, have you read Psalms 150 lately? I mean, see, as Christians, what kind of freedom do we have in Christ? It's all freedom. We can dance with our daughter or son if we want to. You can dance with your wife if you want to. You know, now if you go to some club somewhere and there's some guy dancing with your wife and doing all kinds of crazy things, that don't glorify God. And I would have nothing to do with something like that. But if I want to dance with my wife, I'll dance with her. In fact, we've danced together many times, you know. But I have the freedom to dance with my wife. If I still had a daughter, which I don't, but I have danced with her a few times when she was a young girl. In fact, when she got married at her wedding, she wanted Daddy to dance with her. I didn't have a problem at all dancing with my daughter. And now I can look back and say, thank you, Lord, that I danced with my daughter when she got married, because I had no idea. It only just 3 or 4 years later, she was going to be at home with Jesus. You know, I had no idea. You don't know that. Nobody knows that. Nobody knows what tomorrow holds. So enjoy the day as a child of God and give thanks to the King for whatever. Don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today for the Lord, right? I mean, love Him, praise Him, worship Him, thank Him, you know, every day. Don't put it off. Praise the King. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. And verse 5 and 6. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. And you know, I got news for us. Some of the things we read in those Psalms, at least to me, they don't have breath. What are they praising the Lord? Yeah. Yeah, all the animals, they have breath just like you and I do. But I don't know if a tree has breath or not. See, when the branches are out there doing this, they're clapping their hands, aren't they, Bill? We don't even think about that. Is in the wind, they're clapping their hands, praising the Lord, right? Wow. But the heavens are praising Him. It's just like, I'll throw something out here that I've got several emails this Thanksgiving about the turkeys. You know, they say they're processed in a Muslim factory, you know, and that they're that halal or whatever you call that, halalah, whatever you call that. I said, so you said you can't eat that. I said, I got news for you. I am not bound with any kind of worldly things. I don't care who prayed over that turkey. I don't care who prayed over that beef. I have freedom in Christ to eat anything I want to eat, and it is not cursed by some other God. If I'm walking in obedience to my God, there ain't no curse can come upon you and me. You know that? No curse can come upon us. I mean, Paul said, you know, if you go to somebody's house and they know that the meat has been sacrificed to an idol, and they tell you, now this meat's been sacrificed to an idol, and if you eat it, it's going to offend me, your brother. He said, then don't eat it. Don't eat it. Say, okay, then we'll eat something else. But what you can do is when you start to leave, you might say, well, can I take that with me? I mean, you know, I might have a puppy dog out here that wants it or something. He may never get it. Because, I mean, what do we not understand? Under the new covenant, under the new law, we are free in Christ. Are we free in Christ? Does that mean, Betty, that I can eat any kind of food I want to? I can. I mean, so I don't care who sacrificed to it. I don't care who prayed over it. I don't care how they killed it or nothing else. It's okay, because if I'm walking in obedience to God's word, He promised to bless my food and my water, didn't He? And so do I have anything to be concerned about? No, I don't have to be afraid of nothing. I can eat anything if I'm not under the curse. And the only thing can put you under a curse is disobedience to God. Now, if you're walking in obedience to His word and you're praising Him and thanking Him, is He happy with you? Yes. Is He going to withhold any good thing from you? The Scripture says He will not. God says, those that walk uprightly before me, I will withhold no good things from you. When we do things in faith under the new covenant, what?
Oh. I just wanted to say, don't forget to ask the blessing over the food before you eat it.
Oh, yeah, well, that is true, and I think we should do that, and I do that all the time. But let's stop and think what the Scripture really says. Now, I want you to really stop and think about this. The Lord clearly said in His Word, if we obey Him, He will bless our food and our water. Is that what He said? So if you sit down to eat something sometime and forget to put an extra blessing on it, does that mean it's not going to be blessed? No, because God says if you're walking in obedience to My Word, I will bless your food and your water. So your food and your water is going to be blessed, but I like to always bless my food and my water when we go to a restaurant or whatever, and I like to pray loud enough that somebody three or four tables away can get up and come over and say, you know, I've never seen anybody pray blessed food like you do. I have that happen regularly, and I've had that happen many times. In fact, when I went to camp with Tim when he was 10, this has been a long time ago because he's 36 now, but Tim was in the fifth grade. He was 10 years old, and we went to camp in Oklahoma, and they wanted a male parent to go with 10 boys. In every cabin, they put 10 boys. I said, okay, I don't know who might get in the cabin with my boy, but I guarantee if he goes up there, this daddy's going to be in that cabin with his son. I ain't going up there with just nobody. I'm going to be there. So I took a week of work off, and I went to Oklahoma. And, of course, when we went up there, they had a chow hall, you might call it, like the military, you know, where they serve meals for everybody to eat. They'd have you a table with 11 chairs around it, 10 boys and me. And so I never let those boys eat. In fact, when I first got there the first day, I asked those boys, I said, how many of you boys here out of the 10 of y'all know, they're 10 years old, I said, how many of y'all know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? My son held up his hand, and one other boy. The other eight didn't hold up their hand. I said, okay, boys. I said, Jesus is God. He is the Lord. There is no other God beside Him. And I said, since I'm the leader, y'all are here to obey me. So I said, before we eat every meal, when you sit down to that table, you will wait on me. And when I sit down there and when I stand up at that table and bless that food in the name of Jesus, then you boys can eat, not before. Well, they weren't too sure about this. So, and also, as we go running up the trail, I said, okay, boys, you boys are put here under my authority and you must obey me. And so we go running up the trail, and I said, hey, boys, you're getting a little too far ahead of me. I said, didn't you hear that counselor say that there's snakes down here and all kinds of wild animals? We're out in the wild. Oh, Mr. Scrivener, we're on this trail. Of course, the trail was wide as this hallway right here, asphalt. I said, there's no danger. I said, yes, there is. There's danger. There's critters out here. Oh, we don't have to stay that close to you. I said, boys, I'm in charge, and I demand every one of you come right back here and stay in a little group. Okay, so we're walking along, and they're kind of mumbling. You know, they don't like this. You know, they want to run. And I said, no, we're going along. I said, okay, boys, hold it right there. They all stopped, and I said, there's a great big snake right off the side of the path to the right. Who sees him? Mr. Scribner, you're kidding us. I said, no. See, this is what I'm talking about, boys. See, a trained eye can see this snake, but you boys haven't lived in the wilds like me, so you don't have a trained eye. But I said, just about 4 or 5 feet off the path, there's a great big snake about 5 foot long laying right there in the grass. Oh, you're kidding. I said, he's right off over there. And they're all looking. And all of these, every one of them, nobody saw him. They said, we don't see him. I said, just a minute. I reached down, picked up a little old stick right there about that long, and I threw it over there, hit almost right beside his head. When I did, he like that. And man, he come up and he opened that mouth. He went, them boys all had a runaway, let me tell you for sure. They found out I wasn't kidding them. There was a snake out there. And so the snake run in under a big log there. I said, you boys all stay on the path. Don't you dare get off the path. And I picked up a big stick with a fork in it, and I run over there, and I moved that log over, and I stabbed that stick right behind his head. And, of course, once I got him pinned down, then I took another stick, and I began to beat him until I killed him. And after I killed him, I left that snake. I said, now, boys, y'all heard that counselor down there tell you that there was snakes up here. I said, you told me that you didn't have to worry about this, but I said, right there, if one of y'all had just run off the path, just, I said, only a couple of steps is all it would have took. You could have stepped on him and he could have bit you. Oh, boy, let me tell you, you talk about getting 5, 10 boys' attention. I had their attention now. Isn't it amazing how God does things? He really put those boys to the test. But those boys obeyed me. So when we got down to the lunchroom that day, I said, okay. I said, now I told y'all you have to not eat till I pray, right? And man, I'm telling you, I had no problem. Them boys, they sat there. They just sat there. They never took a bite. And I stood up and I felt my hands up and I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to bless all these food to all of our bodies here in the name of Jesus. I said, thank you, Lord. It's done. I sat down. And of course, after we got there eating, we got up to leave. There was a lady sitting about two tables over. She got up in the corner and said, sir, you must be a Christian. I said, yes, ma'am. I said, I am. She said, I never saw anybody bless the food in one of these camps like this. Never. Said, you're the first man that's ever stood up and blessed it. I said, well, God tells us to do this. I said, so I think I'm going to obey my king. And so she said, wow, I said, this is really something. I said, well, are you a Christian? She said, well, yes. I said, well, why didn't you bless it at your table? And she said, I guess I just didn't think about it. She said, I'm up here with my husband and said, you know, he's a pretty good Christian, but said, we never pray over our food, especially when we're out amongst other people. I said, well, you know, if there's ever a time we should pray, it should be all time, right? Not just one. There should be only two times that you pray over your food. When you're by yourself or when you're with somebody. Right. Is that right? I mean, that pretty well covers all of it, right? Should we be ashamed of our Lord?
No.
Absolutely not. That's what's wrong with us today in the church. We're ashamed of our Lord. I mean, He is the one that made all these things we read in the Psalms. I mean, He created everything. He spoke and the stars came into existence. That's a pretty big God, isn't it, Lou? And He's mine and your God. I ain't ashamed of Him, are you? Absolutely not. I want to praise Him and worship Him and thank Him. And of course, if we do everything He says, praise Him and worship Him and thank Him, if we're walking in obedience to His Word, then when somebody comes up to be prayed for, you pray for them and He's happy with you. And He'll answer your prayer for them. And I love that, don't you? I love that. I mean, I love it when I pray over Cheryl, you know, and the Lord answers my prayer for her virtually every time. I mean, it's just amazing, you know. And in fact, I think about Sharon, you know, Sharon. Was it yesterday, Sharon, that you called me? She got to hurting her back or something, and she called me on my cell phone and said, Thurman, I need you to pray for me. I'm having trouble with my back. So I prayed a prayer of faith, and I said, okay, it's done in the name of Jesus. And she said, it's gone in Jesus' name. We need to learn how to pray one for another. Now, if we're ashamed of our God, hey, He's going to say, you want something from me? Forget it. You're going to pray for something, but you want to do it in the quietness, in the corner where nobody can hear you. Sharon, wait till I get somewhere where there's not anybody. Would you hang on a minute? Let me see if I can find a place over here where there ain't nobody where I can pray silently. Now, Sharon, you may have trouble hearing me, but that's because there's other people within 100 yards of me. Forget it, Lori. Is that what you say? I mean, pray. Don't be ashamed of your God. Praise Him and worship Him. In fact, the other day when Dave and I and Cheryl was up in Baltimore, the man that carried us to work and to the church and back every day, we stayed in his home. He called me after we got back and he said, I am beginning to really understand why God does what He does for you and Dave and your ministry. I said, why? He said, you know, every time I said anything to you guys, one of y'all said, praise the Lord, or the other one said, hallelujah. He said, if you said, praise the Lord, the other one said, hallelujah. So he said, I never heard two men that praise the Lord as much as you two guys do. Well, wonder where we learned that. Reckon we read the Word? Is that what the Lord tells us to do, Richard? Praise Him? Yeah, that's what it says. Praise the Lord. Praise Him and thank Him. Now then, let's go to some of these places, and after we've done that, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. 2 Corinthians 2, 14 through 17. What is the very first word that comes out of it? Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. I mean, when you realize that if we are in Christ, we're supposed to triumph how many times? So is it easy to praise and give thanks to the God that causes us to triumph in Christ? Just think, if we really are in faith. But now there's some people that are Christians that don't triumph in Christ because they haven't never learned to walk in faith. You have to learn to walk in faith. You have to learn who you are. I mean, can you imagine let's just take, say, myself and my son or my daughter, back when my daughter was alive. Just think about my daughter coming in and say, Daddy, you know, I'm fixing to be 16 years old, and I would like to have a car. Well, I'm sorry, honey. I bought Tim a pickup when he was 16, but because you're a girl, I can't buy you one. No, you can't have one. Can you imagine Daddy saying that to his 16-year-old daughter?
A lot of them do.
Well, yeah. I mean, but, you know, I bought my son a pickup. He had one. So now then I can't show partiality. Now, if I'm going to not buy either one of them a car, then I have that option. I just don't buy either one of them a car. Now, if I can't afford it, that's another issue. But I was a man of means. I mean, I didn't have lots of money, but I had some. And I'm grateful I had a good job, and I did have enough money to buy things for my children. I didn't buy new ones. I bought used ones, of course. Well, when my daughter said she wanted a car, I said, well, the first thing we need to do tonight when we have our Bible reading time, we need to pray and ask God to send you a car. I said, what do you want? She said, Daddy, I want a Beretta. I said, okay. That was a little Chevrolet Beretta. That's what she wanted. So we prayed. I asked her, I said, now you pray and ask the Lord to send you the exact Beretta that you want, exactly the way you want it. And so she did. I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to be in agreement with my daughter's prayer that she wants a little Beretta, so we know you have the right one out there somewhere. I said, now, Lord, I have, at that time, I said, Lord, I have $7,500 set aside to buy my daughter a car. Now, it can't be more than that because I'm not going to finance it. That's all the money I have, but I've been saving because, see, a father thinks about long term. So when she was 14, he knew that in a couple of years, she's going to want a car. You know? So I've been saving my money to buy her a car. See, that's why God gives mothers and fathers. Mothers are short-term thinkers, and fathers are long-term thinkers. And so I had saved the money in advance. So we started looking for her a car. Oh, every day she'd want to go to the car lots and look for her car. Well, sometimes I didn't have time to do that. So one day we were headed down to Brownwood to see our relative down there. And I think every used car lot on the side of the road between here and Brownwood, Texas, we stopped to see if somebody had a Beretta. Nobody had one. Nobody. So after about 2 months, I mean, she's getting a little, you know, well, Daddy, maybe God's not going to answer my prayer. I said, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I said, He's training you how to be an overcomer. I said, He has the perfect Beretta for you. Don't you ever doubt Him. Now see, it's amazing how we live a defeated life because all of a sudden we think, well, I've been looking for 2 months or 3 months and God hadn't put one out there, so it must not be His will for me to have one. Well, see, that's not the way you do God, is it? You continually praise Him and thank Him for your Beretta. And I taught her that. Well, this trip when we got to Brownwood, we looked all the way from here to Brownwood. It took us the longest trip to Brownwood ever made in my life. You know, it took us hours and hours to get to Brownwood, 3 hours away. But anyway, when we got down there, we had dinner, whatever it was that day, or whatever, evening meal or whatever. And, of course, Amanda and her little cousins, they were, the other cousins were a little older, so they already had a driver's license. And so they had drove downtown. And she come flying back to the house in a little while and said, Daddy, that blue Beretta is sitting on the parking lot, I mean, on the used car lot right here in Brownwood. I said, well, I said, but today, Saturday, are they open? She said, no, they're not open, but said, that's the one I want. I said, well, let's see if we can go down there and find out who they are. So we went down there and found the phone number, and we called the guy, and I explained the situation to him. So he said, well, I just live right here close. I said, I'll just come down and show it to you. So when we got there, Amanda had already looked at it, and she said, y'all want to drive it? And I said, well, sure, we'll take it out up the Bangs Hill and back. So it was a beautiful little car. Oh, when we got in that car, yes, we drove off. Amanda, Daddy, this is it. This is what I want. This is perfect. Oh, goodness, this is my car. I said, well, now when we get back down there, I got to try to deal with the guy. I got to get it for 75 or under. I said, he's asking a little more than that for it, and I only have 75. So I said, when you get down there, when he says, Amanda, how do you like the car? You said, it's okay. It's okay. I could live with it or without it. It's okay. I said, but don't be excited, because if you're excited, then he's going to know, you know, that I'm going to have to pay the price to get this car. And I said, then we might not get it. So we get down there, and sure enough, when she gets out, the guy said, well, Amanda, how'd you like the car? He said, don't you? It drove fine. It was okay. She wasn't the least bit excited. I thought, wow, praise the Lord. She's listening to Daddy. She's really listening. And so I told him, I said, you know, I know you want a little more than $7,500 for this, but I only have $7,500, and that's my budget, and that's all I can do. So, you know, if you'll sell it to us for $75, I'll take it. But he said, I said, if you want more than that for it, then I can't. We'll just have to look for another one. He said, well, okay, I'll take it. So we go in, and we fill out the paperwork and everything, sign everything, and I write him a check for the car. And the minute I signed the check, and he said, okay, the car's yours, Amanda jumped straight up. Praise the Lord, Daddy, that's my car. I told you that was my car. And, well, that guy said, I thought you said it was just okay. She said, my daddy told me to say that. But we got the car for $7,500. If that guy knew she was that excited over that car, it'd cost me $8,000, you know. So, isn't that amazing? You know, so, but see, does God put us to the test like that?
Yes.
Sure he does. He puts us to the test just like that, you know. I mean, she had to wait, I think it was 2.5 or 3 months before she got that car. But, oh, did she love that little car. And I'm so grateful that I bought that little car for her, you know. Now, I told her whenever she got married, she was still driving that little car. And I told her, I said, now, honey, I'll tell you what, when you get married, you and your husband are going to come under a different covenant than I am. Because I said, your husband has not learned how to walk in faith yet. And your husband, I've talked to him, but he's not a tither. I said, now, he's not giving to God like he would. So I said, you're going to be under a curse with him when you marry him. He's under a curse. Because anybody that does not obey the commands of God is under a curse. So I said, I've talked to him and talked to him about tithing. I said, y'all are going to church, but he tells me he cannot give 10% of his paycheck to the Lord. But I said, he does not understand. He can't make it without it. But I said, I haven't got through to him yet. So I said, I want you and him, when y'all leave my house, I'm going to take the car out of my name, I'm going to put it in your name, and I want y'all to get insurance on the car. I said, because you're going to be under a curse, and I don't know what could possibly happen. I said, anything could happen, because you're under a curse from God, because you're not obeying his word. Well, I put the car in their name, but they didn't hear the rest of it. They just got liability, that's all, no coverage. Well, one day she called and said, Daddy, something is wrong with my car. I said, what do you mean? She said, would you come up here and look at my car? I went up there, and somebody, they lived in a little mobile home park over in Denton. Somebody had walked through between the mobile homes and took his fist and hit right in the center of the windshield just as hard as he could, and that windshield was broken a million pieces. I said, well, I told y'all. Now you're going to have to go have a windshield put in it. I said, I told you, if you don't tithe, you're going to open the door to the Lord's curse, and the Lord's going to get more money than the tithe would have cost you. That's what people don't understand. When you're under a curse, the enemy always gets more than his share. God only asked for 10%, but the devil, he'll get who knows how much of it. But see, people don't understand these principles. But you learn these from reading God's Word. It says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Now, like I said, some of us that are Christians that are walking in obedience to his word, we're triumphing in Christ. Those that are not walking in obedience, they're not walking in the triumphal life. That's why we have so much sickness and problems and everything else in the church, because some people are still, even though they're in the church, they're still under God's curse because they're not obeying him in every realm. Then he says, it makes manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet Savior of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. Let's see what that says on the next verse. To the one we are the Savior of death unto death, and to the other the Savior of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For what does he mean there? You know, when you try to share Christ with somebody that's lost, you know, and you try, and maybe you've done this. I know I have many times. I've tried to share Christ with someone, and they say, well, I really don't need Jesus. I said, yes, you do, because I said, what happens if you die? Well, if I die, I just die. I said, no, you don't. I said, if you die without Jesus, you get to go to this place of flaming hell, and you're going to be there forever. Well, you see, I don't believe that. I don't believe there's a hell. No loving God would put me in hell. Yeah, he'll let you go there yourself, though. I guarantee you he will. And people don't understand that. And so, you know, if we are trying, if for those of us that's talking about Jesus, we realize when we come to know Jesus and we get saved, it's life. We have life, and we have eternal life. All we got to do is obey his commands, walk in obedience to his word. But the people that will not accept Jesus Christ, they have a death certificate. And not only are they going to die on this earth, but they're going to go to a place of flaming hell, and they're going to spend eternity in that place. I can't even imagine that. Can you? I can't even imagine that. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God speak we in Christ. So when we speak something out of this book, we're speaking it as of the words of Christ himself. What verse did I say we were going down to? 17. Okay, that's the one. Now I want to go to 2 Corinthians 9, 7 through 15. 2 Corinthians 9, 7 through 15. Every man, according as he has purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. In other words, when you tithe, or when you give, in other words, you tithe first and then you give gifts above your tithe. I've told a lot of people many a time, if you tithe to this church, don't just go over there to the box and drop your check in. Go over there, and when you put your money in the book, in the box, say, Lord, thank you that I have the privilege to tithe into your ministry. Amen. You know, Lord, I thank you that I'm going to reap a bountiful harvest on my giving because I'm an obedient son or daughter. Now then, somebody said, well, why do I need to do that? Because God is a faith God, and if you don't know that the plan of sowing and reaping is in effect, you can put your money in there and never say nothing, not to say thank you, nor say, woo, I mean, Lord, thank you that I have the privilege to give into your kingdom. Now, when's the last time you saw somebody drop something in the box and that's what they did? Hardly ever. Why? Because obviously we don't realize that there is a plan of sowing and reaping. And when we give, God loves a cheerful giver. Is that what he said? So what should we at least do when we put our check in the box or our money in the box? Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to give into your kingdom. Is that what he said? So if God says that, why be a disobedient Christian? Every man, according as he has purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So when we give, I mean, I see some people, I have seen people, I'm not giving to that church. I just ain't going to give that check. You know, I might go down there, but I ain't going to give them no money. That's all they want, just your money. You ever heard people say that about the church? They have never reached that point. And I guarantee those people are not blessed. They are not blessed because they were grudgingly giving. If they give, they give it grudgingly. I ain't going to give nothing. If I do, I'm going to, I mean, I hear somebody say, I say, you tithe? Well, I tithe when I can. No, you don't tithe when you can. You tithe every week. You know, that's God. And well, but I just, you know, I just, yeah, okay, well, I tithe last week. And then I said, well, how much did you give? Well, I give $10. I said, oh, you made $100 last week? Well, no, I made $500 last week. But I tithe $10. No, you didn't tithe $10. You gave God $10. If you made $500 last week, if this happened to be the church that you're going to tithe in, then you owed God $50, not $10. You don't have to tithe at this ministry. You can tithe anywhere you want to. But wherever you go, tithe somewhere. You know, really God doesn't just, I've heard a lot of people say, you know, tithing was under the old covenant. It's not under the new one. I'm going to tell you right, they're really right. Because under the new covenant, God wants all of you and all of your money. He don't want just 10%. He wants all of you and all of your money. He wants whatever you have to be dedicated to him for his glory. If you get a monthly paycheck, then you tithe monthly, you know. And if you got some little things coming in the middle of that, just add it to the whole thing at the end. But it's no problem. If you wanted to do it the other way, there's not a problem.
Right.
As long as the money don't have you, you have control of your money.
Right on.
Yeah, that's the main thing. And that's what God wants us to do, is he says here, every man, accordingly as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, since when we give, I don't give to the church, I give to God.
Right.
You know, and I know that, you know, I want to give, and I want to make sure he knows that I'm giving happily, cheerfully, running over with abundance with the privilege to give him. I don't have any problem with giving God or putting money in this ministry, because I know that the money that's in this ministry is going to be used for the glory of God. And that's for sure. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you. How much?
All.
Man, I love that when God does this. He's able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Does that sound like a man living in lack? No. So if you're giving, I mean, what did he say there? So if you give and you give cheerfully, then God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. You know, that just doesn't sound like a poor man to me, does it, you? That sounds like a man or woman that's living with all their needs met, right? In other words, God promised to meet all of our needs. So whatever your house payments do this week or this month, whatever, the money's there, right? If you got a car payment, your money is there. You need to go to the grocery store and get groceries. You got money in the bank to buy your groceries. Now then, he didn't promise you that he'd give you $1 million to act foolishly with, did he? No, he promised to meet your needs in all sufficiency. You would not have to go without food or clothes. Now then, he also give you a brain. You know, you don't go downtown and see a dress or a suit. I tell this about guys, you know. A guy, you know, they come down and say, they quote me some name. Say, how do you like my duds? I said, okay. I said, look nice. See that right there? That's so-and-so and so-and-so. You know, $5,000 is what this costs. First time I had somebody do that to me, I looked at mine that had a J.C. Penney in there. I said, $79.99, J.C. Penney. I ain't trying to impress nobody with what I wear.
Amen.
I mean, I'm not that kind of guy. I'm not out there to. I mean, so many times, even my wife, you know, she wants me to. I started out somewhere the other night after I'd been outside in the wind, and the wind blowing like 90 miles an hour. My hair was all fluffed up right here on the side, and we're fixing to go eat. She said, honey, you got to go comb your hair. I said, I ain't trying to impress nobody. I said, just wipe it down. It'll be okay. She said, but I want you to look nice. I said, okay, okay. You know how girls are, right? Oh, goodness gracious. They have keep us straight. You know what I mean? But if we give and if we're thankful, God's going to always having all sufficiency in all things that we may abound in every good work. And so then, let's see, what was the, on a couple more verses there to 15. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both ministers bread for your food, and multiplies your seed sown, and increase the fruit of your righteousness. Now then, this God that we give our tithe and our offering to, he's going to return seed to us, right? In other words, he's going to bless us. He's going to give us bread to eat. In other words, if we're not obedient and give into his kingdom, you will find out that you may come up lacking. Is that right, Tom? Yeah, I guarantee it'll work. I mean, I see people all the time that are in the church, and you have no idea how many people come up here and say, I got to have another $500 for my house payment this month. I don't have it. In fact, I had a woman one time. She came up every month. She had to have money for every week. She needed something. Groceries, house payment, something. And I helped her for several months. Every time I told her, I said, you know, you need to start doing what God says. Get you a job. Find you a good job. Be willing to work diligently and hard. And I said, and then tithe. I said, until you do that, young lady, you're never going to be blessed. I said, you know, I'm not your provider. God is. And I said, you're using me as a pastor of this church to be your provider. And I said, I have provided for you now for about 3 months, but I'm telling you, I'm tired of it. I said, I am not your provider. I said, all I'm doing is giving out to you. I said, and you're taking that money out there and buying groceries and gas and everything else when you ought to be doing and obeying God. If you did, then you wouldn't have to come to me. Somebody said, goodness, you weren't very nice to her. I said, I'm telling her the truth. So this woman finally listened to me, and she went out there and got her a job, and she's working diligently. And I thought, wow, you know, I guess I was a little hard on her. But all of a sudden, tithe checks started coming in. And that woman now for years has given a tithe. Ain't no telling how many times that woman's given back. This woman don't even go to church here. She lives somewhere else. But she tithes to this church. She said, you were the one that told me the truth. Now see, sometimes it pays to be hard on people, don't it? This woman is out there working. She's got her a good job. And man, she sends her tithe checks in here every week. And sometimes she'll get a hand on a tithe check and we'll get a letter from her and there'll be 3 weeks worth of tithe checks in one envelope. But she tithes. And I think, wow, to just think, if nobody had told this woman the truth. See, I'd still been giving her money, or somebody would have. But I told her, I said, you can't do it like this, because who is our provider? It's the King. And since everything worships and praises Him, even the sun and the moon, do you think God knows how to either turn things on or turn things off for your blessing? Oh, yeah, He can turn it on or off, I guarantee. And when He turns it off, it ain't no fun. When you start having to come ask the pastor for $100 for groceries this week or $500 for a month for your rent or whatever, and this goes on for 2 or 3 or 4 months, all of a sudden I'm get to the point where I'll tell you, hey, you know, I am not your provider. I'll help you once in a while. But if you have but I'm going to tell you, if you'll get in there and be obedient to do what God says, you would never have to come to me for money. You know that? Who is it promised to meet all your needs? God did. But what do you got to do? You got to give grudgingly? In other words, if you give it and say, I hate to give this to that church. Ooh, that didn't count for much. He didn't put that to your plus side, did he, Betty? If you say, Lord, I want to thank you and praise you for the privilege. Oh, Lord, thank you. Multiply this seed in Jesus' name. He can do that, can't he? That's why I can get hilariously happy for giving into his kingdom, because I know what it does. He blesses your socks off. The other day when I said that, yes, she said, look, and she was barefooted. I said, that's what I thought, girl. He's blessed your socks off. Well, I told her, and he'll bless them back on. The next time I saw her, she said, look, and I got them back on now. That girl, she's one of my favorite daughters. I got lots of favorite daughters, so praise the Lord. He will multiply your food, your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. The next couple of verses. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Now just think, those guys sitting there on that television set the other morning, those four big football bruisers that were out of the football business, but they're talking about it. You know what I mean. They hire those kind of guys to do this. Those guys know more about football than anything. And even though they said, you know, it's a season when we're supposed to give thanks. And I thought, to who? What are we supposed to be thankful for? Well, I can say, thank you, Joseph, for helping me last year, huh? Is that what the Lord told me to do? Not really. He's told me to thank Him.
Thank the Lord.
You know, praise Him. We are to give Him thanksgiving. And this thanksgiving, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. I mean, He is a supplier of everything, is He not? If you will just praise Him and worship Him and thank Him, and every day when you wake up in the morning, the first thing you should do is say, Lord, thank you. Is that right, Kim?
Yes, sir.
That's the first thing. Scott, should we thank Him for everything? Yes, absolutely, all the time. Then he says there, for the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. I mean, we just went through the Thanksgiving season, and I just stand in awe at the people that I saw that were sitting around tables eating things, and nobody is praising God for what they've got. Isn't that sad? It's just amazing. You know, I really believe that a lot of these people don't really know where it comes from. And almost everybody in America has been so blessed that now then that things are getting to be hard times. Some of them are really, they don't understand why they're being, they don't even understand it's a curse that they're under. But how are they going to learn? You and I are going to tell them. That's exactly right. You and I are going to tell them. 13 and 14. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. For by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Now then, when we give money that we use goes, it doesn't make it whether y'all give it or we get it through the mail or whatever. The money that we get into this ministry pays for all these CDs and DVDs and all of the costs to make these things. And then we're able to send out 10,000 CDs and DVDs a week somewhere all over the world to people free and postpaid. Isn't that amazing? I mean, if you'd have told me a few years ago because of my obedience to tithe and give God His part, the day would come when God would use me in a way like He's using me to teach His Word and to go all over the world and to proclaim His Word and see Him do the great and mighty things He has done. If you'd have said, you know, one day that's going to happen to you. In fact, a lady a few years ago told me, she came to a healing school when we were over in Hearst at a Baptist church. And she, after about the third or fourth time she came, she said, Thurman, she and a girlfriend of hers wanted to take me out to dinner after the healing school, said they wanted to talk to me. I said, okay. So I went with these two girls, since it was two of them. They said they wanted to buy me dinner. I felt strange, you know, letting them buy me dinner, but they said they was having no other way, but they wanted to buy me dinner. So I said, okay. So I went with these two ladies, went down to a restaurant there, and she said, the reason I came, I wanted to talk to you because I had a dream about you. I said, okay. I said, what was the dream? She said, I was in this dream, and all of a sudden I woke up and I looked, and as far as the eye could see, there was people, men and women, I mean children. She said, there was just multitudes. Said, there must have been a million of them. She said, maybe more. And she said, all of a sudden I looked, and there stood Jesus. I said, Lord, who are all these people? And He told me, He said, these are the people I'm going to save and heal and deliver through my servant, Thurman Scrivener. I've never forgot that, Bill. When she told me that story, I thought, here I'm a little nobody. Nobody knows me. You know, I've never preached to more than 20 people at one time at that time in my life. I said, you know, this girl, you know, I said, this couldn't be true. I couldn't see the plans that God had in the future. But 30 years later, I can look back and say, oh, Lord, I have no idea you were going to allow me to be used of you for your glory. And what did I have to do? What was my part in this? Study the Word and make myself available. Is that all I had to do, Bill? That's all I had to do. Study the Word, say, Lord, here am I, send me. And He said, all I need is a willing servant. Is that for all of us? All you got to do this week is be willing to be about the King's business, and He'll put you somewhere with somebody to use you mightily for His glory. I mean, He'll just, and if you're not there yourself, then you spend that time every day with God in His Word learning how to be that person. If you get paid by the month, when your paycheck comes in, I'll just use a simple term. Let's just use $1,000. Let's just say that you got $1,000. The very first thing you should do is take $100 of that $1,000 and set it aside to give to God. That is your first fruits. You don't pay all of your other bills first and see if you've got $100 left. Now, that's what a lot of people do. A lot of people say, okay, we got $1,000 in. Now, we know we're supposed to tithe off of that, but I need to take money and put here and here and here and here and here. Okay, when I get through, I only got $50 left. Okay, so I'll tithe and I'll give that. That's not first fruits. First fruits is the first part of your income. In other words, when you got that check for $1,000, the first thing you do is take a set aside $100 of that or whatever else, but $100 is required with God. Take at least $100, say, Lord, this is my first fruits unto you. And He will really bless that because that's what He says. I get the first fruits. And a lot of people don't do it like that. And a lot of people that tithe don't give God the first fruits. They may pay all kinds of bills first instead of saying, okay, Lord, I'm taking my first fruits and I'm going to set this aside and I'm going to write this check for $100 out of my $1,000. That's the first check I'm going to write. And then Sunday when I go to church, now I may pay all kinds of bills out of that the rest of this week, but my first one, I sat down and wrote it, and it was for my first fruits, and it was $100. So when I go to church Sunday, I'm going to put that $100 in, and I'm going to give it grudgingly. Oh, but some people do that, though. They do, and do they get blessed? No, they do not. You know, when you go in, God loves a cheerful giver. So, Lord, I am so grateful that I have the privilege of giving to your kingdom. Oh, yeah, it's tithing. It's just giving the first fruits of your tithe. Yeah, yeah. Some people, you know, will get paid weekly, and they may not go to church, but once a month. And so they won't give anything until they do go, and then when they do, they're trying to figure out how much did I make first, second week, third week, fourth, and they've already paid all their bills and all this, and they set nothing aside for God. Nothing. Just like this other woman I was telling you about a while ago. She obviously is writing the check on her first fruits because it may be 3 weeks before we get a letter from her when we do. If that is the case, there'll be three checks in there, one for each week. See, she could have just waited till the end and made one big check, you think. But she's doing it just like God says, first fruits. Well, you want to make sure you're not giving it to a ministry. In fact, see, in the old covenant, whenever a farmer, whenever his sheep had the first lamb was sacrificed as an offering to God. They didn't get to keep it. You know, the first calf also sacrificed that to the Lord. They didn't wait till they all grew up together. You know, they sacrificed the first fruit. So, yeah.
Separate to the tithe.
Do what?
That was separate to the tithe because at the end of the year they still had to give a tenth of all of their animals.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
I don't remember. Okay, well, then Joseph, I stand corrected then. He studies the Jewish law a lot more than I have. He is a Jewish man, and so he studies Jewish law. So I hardly ever question him because he's usually 100% right. And so I need to check that out. But I do know that the first fruits, you know, if I was getting paid by the week, I mean, whenever I used to go to church over at Louisville, I got paid, every 2 weeks I think I got a paycheck, every 2 weeks. And when I got paid, every time I got a paycheck, I'd write 10% of that out and give it to the church. I give it to the Lord. I didn't give it to the pastor. It never even occurred to me that when I wrote that check and gave it to the Lord that I was giving it to the pastor. I mean, so many people think that, you know, well, in fact, I had a man one time that tell me, he said, don't you think people are preachers just so they can make money? And I told him, no. I said, you know, of course, the thing about it is, if there's any business in the world that the men make the least amount of money, it's pastors. You know, pastors make so little money. And, of course, in this ministry, we use everything that comes in this for the glory of God. Cheryl married a rich husband. I have a gas well down here that brings me in money every month. And, you know, I also have my Social Security, which brings me in money every month. And so between my gas well and my Social Security, she's married to a rich man. You know, I mean, I don't have to take money out of the ministry. Now, I'm not what you would call rich by no means, but I will have to say, I don't have to worry about where my next meal's coming from. You know, between my gas well, you know, and my Social Security, and of course I had a good job, and so I got the maximum Social Security. You know, so that's a benefit for me as long as it's still there. So I take all of that, you know, and of course now then I've got a rich wife too. She's got old enough finally to get her Social Security. So between her Social Security and my Social Security and our gas well, hey, I got a rich woman, you know. And so here's the thing about it. When you have that kind of money, of course, it's not a lot. You know, don't get me wrong at all. It's not a lot. But when you have your car paid for, your house paid for, and everything you have paid for, and all you got to do is buy a few groceries and buy a little insurance for liability for your car, it don't take a whole lot for two people to get by. And so it ain't no problem. You know, she'll tell me every once in a while, do you know that your account in the bank is getting up to this amount, so you need to give some of it to the ministry or whatever? Or, you know, so I do every once in a while. You know, I just, if it starts getting more than I think I need, And so when I built Cheryl in my little house back here, I built us a little tin shed on the back of the ministry center. And of course, her mother, when she told her mother I was building her a house, she said, "Was he building it out of brick?" And she said, "No, he's building it out of tin." And she said, "You're going to live in a tin barn with that man?" She said, "Mother, I will live anywhere with this man." And she has really meant that. And so our little tin barn, which cost us $35,000, you may have never seen our little tin shed behind the ministry center that we live in, but it's pretty comfortable, isn't it, honey? Very nice, you know, very nice. It's not fancy, but it's nice, I guarantee you. But it only cost me $35,000, and I built it myself. You know, so I have no payments. Isn't that nice? You know, no payments, you know, no nothing. And so, anyway, you know, I don't like to give money to the government. I never built another big house. I built that monster over there, too. It took me 5 years and only about $100,000, $125,000 maximum to build that big, giant, beautiful home over there now that my son's living in and enjoying, because I give it to him because it's going to be his someday anyway, because I've got everything willed to him. Whenever I do go on to be with the Lord, it's going to be his. So Cheryl didn't want to live in it, so I said, okay, we'll build us another one. So we did. So we built us a small one, but she's happy with it. And the only thing she was upset about is she had a little 5x6 cedar closet down there where she lived that she had all of her nice dresses and stuff hung in. So when I started building that one, I'd put the drawings out there, and she said, "Now, that's my cedar closet?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Well, I want a big cedar closet. I want one much bigger than my little 5x6. I said, "Well, I've built this one much bigger." She said, "Well, I can't tell on that piece of paper how big that is." So I said, "Let me draw your existing 5x6, and let me set it over in one corner." And I did, and she said, "My lands, that room's 4 or 5 times bigger than the other one." I said, "Is that big enough?" She said, "I think I can live with that." And she filled it up. Let me tell you, that girl's fit. It's a good thing I didn't build it 5 times bigger than I did, because she'd be just like me. She would have filled it up, right? What did God say? If we do what he says, if we obey him, and if we tithe, and if we give him thanksgiving, and we become a cheerful giver, what will he bless us with? Everything. I mean, we will have no wants. Is that what he said? You'll have no wants. And so everything, just like Cheryl told me the other day, she said, "You know, I have everything I want. Anything I want," she said, "you let me have." Well, it's a good thing that her wanter is not too bad or too big, you know. So now then, you know, she was like some women, you know, that they want to go out and spend a lot of money. But praise God, she's not that way. She's very easy to please and very easy to, but that's the way we should be. You know, we shouldn't want to go out and spend a lot of money for something that we don't need, right? God give us a brain, you know. Yes, I don't wear $5,000 suits, but in fact, I will tell you, Sharon, she had this man, I don't know whether it was a friend or just whoever, but she knew this man. He was a deacon in a Baptist church, and he came down with some sickness, and she tried to get him to come out here, but he never would. And so he died. And after he died, well, his wife asked Sharon one day, she said, "You know, my husband had all these nice suits, 10 or 15 of them, and now then I don't know what to do with them." And Sharon said, "Well, he was about the same size as my pastor." Said, "Let me take them and go out and see if he can wear them. I could wear every one of them." So because he didn't come out and get healed, I got the benefit of all of his clothes. You know, and I've been wearing them ever since. I haven't had to buy a new suit in years. You know? I got all kinds of clothes, you know. So, well, I mean, you know, she tried to get him to a healing school and he wouldn't come, right, Sharon? And so, I mean, you know, you cannot receive this wonderful blessing from God. He's not going to force you to get healed, is he? He'll let you die early if you want to, but he will provide, I guarantee. If you stay in faith and obey him, he will provide. I can assure you his word guarantees it. In America, we think that God is going to take care of us with a big fancy home, you know, that costs a couple hundred thousand. You know, that's not what he meant. You know, we live abundantly and we're extravagant and everything. And I learned that the hard way. And so when I built this little house for us back here behind the ministry center, like I say, it's nothing fancy whatsoever, you know, but it's nice, you know, and I was able to build it myself, you know, for me and Cheryl. And, you know, like I say, it's nice, it's comfortable, it's paid for. Yes. Where can you buy a house for $35,000? Not nowhere. See, but that's all that cost me. That's all it cost me to build it. That's heated, air conditioned, and everything. You know, beautiful carpet, you know, everything. So there is a way to live fairly inexpensive, but the bigger cities is hard to do it. You know, it's easy to have a big, fancy home. Well, just like we were talking, my son and I, yesterday, about one of his friends. One of his friends went off to college and became a surgeon, a specialty surgeon. He came back to this area, and he's been going to school for 12 or 14 years. Now, then he came back to this area as a specialty surgeon, and yes, he got a job making a lot of money. So what's the first thing he did? He went out and bought a house that cost $600,000. Now, like I told my son, I said, you know, instead of buying a house that costs $600,000, even though he's making a lot of money as a doctor and a specialty surgeon, he could have bought a nice little three-bedroom brick home for $125,000 or $150,000. And the first year's payments on that $600,000 would have paid for this one. And now he's got a house paid for. And now then he's got it paid for. But see, everybody don't think like I do. You know, I was raised up in the country in a little poor house, you know, that, I mean, we had a board and bed house, and some people don't even know what that is. That's 1x12s with put together and then a little 2-inch strip nailed over the bed, over the slot. And whenever they get weather beaten a little bit, the wind blows through that just like, I mean, it blows harder in the house than it does outside the house. And so when you went to bed at night, let me tell you, you covered up with everything. You wore long johns and everything else with blankets until you were so heavy you couldn't turn over in cold weather. That's how I was raised, you know. So I know how to, well, like Paul says, I've learned how to live with plenty and learned how to live with nothing and everywhere in between. But we're only temporary here. The thing about it is, I can't find anywhere in the Scripture where God says we are to retire. He said we're to occupy till He comes. Yeah, and so we just get out there and work for the King, and He will provide for us and take care of us. I can assure you, He will take care of you. And of course, the way I look at it, well, the way I look at that, if we are 72 or 73 years old and we are in health and able to meet all of our bills, that's all we need right now. Because we don't know what tomorrow provides. Tomorrow we may be in heaven. I'm not trying to build up an empire on this earth to say, okay, I'm going to get to be 75 years old, then I'm going to sit back and do nothing, and I'm going to live the same way I did all the rest of my life. That's not me. I'm going to live until Jesus comes. And just like Paul said, if they take everything away from me, or if I got plenty, I'm going to still be okay, because I know I'm just an alien, a foreigner, and a stranger, and I'm just passing through this earth. Is that right? But I know our King told us to tithe and give of our gifts to Him and do it cheerfully. And as long as we do that, I mean, He is just wonderful, and He provides for us. He didn't say He would give us $1 million. He didn't say give us a big home. He said, I'll meet your needs. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, are we not?
Amen.
And that's why that we should be willing to help people do things. And I know that's why many of you do. You help people. When people have a need, you'll do whatever, because we realize that what we have all comes from the King. Is that right?
Amen.
Everything we have. That's why Cheryl's going out this year and buying those presents. And just like Bill was so amazed the other day when he found out this 40 days of fasting and praying, that at least from this standpoint, we doubled, over doubled the number of children that she bought Christmas for last year. She's already exceeded over 2,000 this year. And so that's an awesome blessing. And 2,000 children, and I forget how many families are going to be blessed this year. And she's not through, you know, because there's still money coming in. So as long as the money comes in, there's still a lot of people out there that have a need, you know. And I'm grateful I don't have a need. You know, I don't have any kind of need. Only thing I need is Jesus. You know, I don't need nothing else. You know, I mean, I have enough money to buy my meals today. You know, I mean, my car's paid for. My insurance is paid up. You know, my house is paid for. And I don't have a need. Isn't that wonderful? But God promised to meet all of my needs, you know. Now, well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise You and thank You for this beautiful day. We thank You, Lord, for the coolness out there. Lord, and we thank You that we're getting into the fall season and the winter season, and we know that You said all these things shall continue and the earth shall remain forever. So, Lord, we thank You for the heated, even the hot summer we had. We thank You for it. And Lord, we thank you for the cooler time that we have now. We thank you for the rain that we've had. And we thank you, thank you for everything, Father. You're so great, and we're so grateful. And we know that you are going to take care of your children, which is us. You know, so you promised us that you would take care and meet our needs if we would be obedient to serve you. And Lord, that's what we're trying to do. That's why we meet here every Sunday and talk about your word, because we want to be obedient to your word and do what it says, so you will continually bless us. Because, Lord, we thank you for blessing us in all things. Now, Lord, thank you for being our Lord, our God, our Savior, our healer, our provider, our everything. And we are so grateful, Master. Now, Lord, thank you again for just loving us and choosing us, that we're all your children. And, Lord, when I stop to think that only 2.5% basically of the world knows you as Lord and Savior, and that I can be so fortunate, or we can be so fortunate to be one of those 2.5%. Lord, I'm so awestruck that we can be so fortunate to be one of those that know you as our Lord and our Savior. So, Lord, help us this week as we go out to bring others into the kingdom, because I know it is your will that all should be saved. And, Lord, thank you for showing us how to do that. And we praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.